filling in for Ashley today. Thank you, Dan, for taking my spot today. Awesome. Well, I just want to, we got some a little bit of time here. I won't take it all of the night, I don't think. But I was going to boast on our Sunday night service. We're about half of what we usually have tonight, so I'm not going to. I don't know where everybody is tonight, but you know what? There's one thing I have learned is I don't, numbers are not impressive. They can be at certain things, but I've learned over time that God does what he does, and it's always the right thing, but I'll come back to that later. So I just want to remind you, kind of been in this sin thing, and kind of want to move a little bit into it a little bit again, but I want to move out of it tonight. So I just want to remind you, you all know that sin has infected mankind, and the world is just, we are all sinners. We are all sinners. We understand that. But the world doesn't understand sin. The world doesn't understand sometimes. A lot of people in the world, they believe that when they die, they just kind of like, they just don't exist anymore. Some people are going out there worshiping these little G's and these little I's that are running all over the world. And it may not look like the same as it does, you know, like in what they do in India. They still have totem poles and little statues and things. And in another country, they'll say it's the God, the sun God in South America, whatever. But America, America has a problem. America is, we serve ourselves. Americans feel that there's people of four different nationalities in the room, the American would believe that he is better than the rest. In most cases, we as Americans, we believe that we are better than the rest of the world. We struggle with these things, and one of those things is that we think that we're better. And so we come up with these ideas that we are to get all that we can get out of the world, and that's our peace. But we are a different breed. We are those who, and just let me tell you that those people who serve those little G's, those little I's, and those false gods and those false idols, let me tell you, there's not a one of those that's been able to do what they tell you to do to get to where they want you to go. If there's a paradise, there's a so-called heaven, a reincarnation. Nobody's ever been able to do everything they put on a checklist. But what we believe in is we know that we cannot do that, that Jesus Christ did that for us. Because we're all sinners. So as Christians, we know that Jesus should be our everything. But I know that our eyes and our minds see things in this world that brings on some things that we struggle with. And some of those things we struggle with is the news that we hear. It is the news of what's going on in the world. It is those things that gives us to be fearful, discouraged. We have a spirit of fear, which the Bible tells us we're not to have that. So we become discouraged. We become fearful in life, and we walk around in this way that we just struggle as Christians. And I have this feeling that as we continue to live our lives out, and we're beginning to see it now, that it isn't, you know, we have these big battles right now between, you know, same-sex marriages, pro-life, arms, we allowed, you know, the Second Amendment, and we have all those things, transgender, we have all those things that there's battles for, and I think some of those are going to continue, but I think there's going to be a bigger one than that, and that is going to be Christian versus Christian. I think it's going to start in the church house, and I think that we've already beginning to see some of that. I've used these scriptures the last couple of weeks, I want to use them again tonight, and then I want to go where I want to clean up what we're talking about. But in 1 Timothy chapter 4, we know that Paul is writing to Timothy, and he says this, 1 Timothy chapter 4, now the Spirit expressively says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines to demons. Can I tell you that if you don't worship Jesus and you worship something else, you're worshiping and you're listening to the doctrines of demons? If it's not Jesus and it's something else, then it's not right. We are to worship the one true God, the one who created the world, and so we need to know that. But it says the Spirit expressively says that in latter times, in the times to come, when it was written, this is life. Some will depart from the faith. Some will depart from the faith and giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. So we're going to see there's going to be a separation. There's going to be people that are in the church house that are going to go against one another. We see that already. And how do we see that? Because men have saw and have seen the pressure that Christians, they profess to be Christians, they bring it into the church, they say we need to be able to be accepting of all people, we need to do this, this and that, and doctrine and theology of denominations are changing just as the scripture says. Okay? And we need to remember that it's not about your opinion or what I think. It's about what God's word says. And so we see this piece in 1 Timothy chapter 4, but it also we see that Paul writes it in another similar way, but a little bit different. Paul is writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy, and we're going to be in 2 Timothy chapter 4, but you know in the first chapter there, in the beginning of this letter, that Timothy is struggling there, and there's a sense of personal responsibility that when we get discouraged, that we need to fan into flame that little spark that's still there, and pull ourselves up by our bootstraps, be the big boy, big girl we're supposed to be in the Lord, and say, you know what, I'm going to encourage myself in Christ, such as David did at Ziklag. We need to encourage ourselves through the Lord. The Lord encourages us, and we get up and we start being that Christian that we are called to be. And through this letter, 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul writes a little bit more personal to Timothy, and he says this in chapter 4, verse 2. He says, listen, you need to preach the word. You need to preach the word, son. He's saying, you need to preach the word. He says, be ready in season and out of season. What this means is, Timothy, you need to preach when they show up and when they don't show up. You need to preach when nobody wants to come, but just a few want to come. You need to preach when it's not a popular piece to preach, but if it's God's word, it needs to be preached. And if it's to accept it, great. When they don't, you still preach it. But you need to preach it in love. You need to be doing it through the Spirit, not out of anger, not out of deceit, not out of those things, but doing it out of love. But we are to preach and share the gospel in season and out of season. But he says, convince, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and teaching. In verse 3, he says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. There's going to come a time when they will not listen to God's word. They will not listen to good doctrine. They will not do that, but according to their own desires, because we all have our personal desires, but they should not be leading us, but the Holy Spirit should be leading us. But we all have personal desires in certain things. But when those personal desires come in front of the Holy Spirit, then we are taking and we are moving and stepping into God's area, pushing the Holy Spirit away, and we are doing what we want to do, and we will find ourselves quickly going down a rabbit hole that goes very deep away from the Word of God. Next thing you know, you're in a church with a steeple, with a cross, with a worship service that does not talk about Jesus, or if it does talk about Jesus, it only tells you that He saves and He's a loving God, but He is not a judgment, that He is not a judging God, is not a God of wrath. He's a God of all the things that God's Word tells us. But you will find yourself dipping into a church where there's no strong doctrine. But according to their own desires, because they have itchy ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. Can I tell you that when you come on Sunday nights, you are encouraging the Holy Spirit, and you are encouraging yourself, the Holy Spirit is encouraging you. You are being faithful to God. You are being faithful. You are worshiping. I know some churches only do it on Sunday morning, and that's okay. But when you get another dose of it on Sunday, I'm telling you, there are Christians in countries today that would beg to have one worship service without the idea and the threat of being arrested. I'm going to bring in Michael from Africa here soon. And he will show a film, and I'm going to step up in front of the church and have to say, listen, this is very ugly. If you cannot handle certain things. I'm telling you, I'm going to give you discretion up here, because you will see people that this is live, and they've sent him videos from his people back home, and they are violently, because they've assembled themselves together. They were told, they were beat down with sticks and thrown in a ditch and set on fire, because they were doing the one thing that they were not supposed to be doing. They were doing the one thing, and that is lifting up the name of Jesus. We can't fathom that. We don't understand that here, but that story is coming soon here, because there's going to be a time when people will not put up with sound doctrine. They don't want to endure the sound doctrine, because when you listen to sound doctrine, it tells you, and the Holy Spirit will convict you if you're living a life of sin. The Holy Spirit will tell you when you are living a life that is not desirable to the ways of righteousness of God. And so we see that struggle, and people will say, well, I don't like that feeling of the pressure of all that. So I want to go over here to where I want to go, and I'm going to start saying, this is how I feel about things. This is what I think about it. And they'll have those itchy ears to find those people that will teach it and preach it, and it will draw people. The people think they're drawing to God, but yet they're drawing away from God. There's only one God, there's only one Word, there's only one Jesus, and only one Holy Spirit. It's not what we make him out to be, it's what he is already. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itchy ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. So they will not stay on the straight and narrow. They will go off to do other things. It is this: there's nothing wrong with having lights in the sanctuary. There's nothing wrong with having a cross. There's nothing wrong with having a beautiful sanctuary. We are to take care of the house of God. But here it is. There's many people that will leave a church because, listen, you can have a great singer, but if it's not a band, I want a band. I want a live band. I like it when it's dark and it looks like a stage up there. I want a pastor who's very charismatic. I want one that just tells me how great I am. And what we have, we find the person, we find that preacher in that church that fits what I want. Never did that person say, Lord, where do you want me to go? And as you grow in your walk with Jesus, you find out it's not about what you're wanting. It's about, Lord, where can I serve? Where do you want me to be? Where are you calling me to be? There's a communication where between that person and the Holy Spirit, and they're beginning to talk. Not as I'm looking on my menu saying, I don't like French fries, or I don't like the churches where they don't have live bands. I only go to churches where there's young people, or I only want to go to churches where there's hymn music. And that battle is still going on today. Or I'm not going to go down to the church downtown, because those churches downtown, the buildings are all falling apart. So those people must be, I don't want to go into those buildings because they're dirty. It looks dirty outside. I want to tell you, I believe this, that Jesus Christ, you'll find him not in always the nicest buildings, not always in the ugliest buildings, but where people are calling his name and calling him Lord, calling him Savior. They're worshiping him with their hearts and mind, regardless of what the building looks like. Even though we're supposed to take care of that, here it is. He's looking at the hearts of the people. We, as human Christians, we start looking at the things on the outside, and we struggle with that. But there's going to be a time when they're going to keep doing that. And he says this, but he says, you, Timothy, you need to do this one thing. You need to be watchful in all things. And then you endure the afflictions. You endure the pain. Do the work of an evangelist and fulfill your ministry. That means to complete your ministry. Complete the calling that God has for you. Now I want to jump over to Isaiah. All this comes to a place of Isaiah. Now we know this, that Jesus is your Savior. Amen. Holy Spirit is the Counselor. Amen. We're going to come up here to something tonight, and I want to show you something tonight, because I want to be an encouragement to you. You know, I love the idea that I love it that we had a banquet and over $26,000 was raised. Praise the Lord for that. But I want to tell you, when you come on a high and when you come up on a high, sometimes it comes down where you end up on a low very quickly, because you get to that place, and there is that, and there's a part there. But I want to tell you and I'll come back to that. When we start struggling in our walk, if you go to Isaiah chapter 40, I want to show you something tonight. And something I want to share with you something tonight, because we tonight are low tonight, and I think it just might be what we're going to talk about here tonight. I know there are some people that are usually here every Sunday night, but tonight they're not. God's people in the Old Testament just seemed like, man, after Solomon and all that, it just seemed like God's people were in a mess. In a mess. More in a mess than they were not in a mess. And God just kept loving on them, and then he had to chastise, then he had to discipline them, and he loves on them, and he's disciplining them, and they're coming to God, and they're falling back away, and another generation rises up, and they act like, who is God? And so they're struggling, and here's a point, these scriptures here, this Isaiah, it's about when you, I know every one of you go through a low point from time to time. And I know some people don't like it when I say this, but this church is a hospital. It's just the way it is. It's the way it is. It's a spiritual hospital, and sometimes it works with the physical. Well, I'll give you an. I'll just give you one little piece. I don't want to get too deep into it. There are two counseling Bowen Center here in Fort Wayne, and then there's Whites and Wabash, and they're both in contact with us because they want us to figure out how to help them with youth. And that's, oh man, this is like, how are we going to do all this? Because they don't know what to do. And they need some help. Verse 28 says this, have you known, have you not heard the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary? Let's know this tonight, that God never faints. He never gets weary. He never wakes up going, I'm tired. He never wakes up and goes, man, I just want to pass out. It's been so hard with you people. God never does that, okay? And it says his understanding is unsearchable. We need to remember that God is more than we are. Never say that we're trying to get on the same plane as God because he's unsearchable. We just can't figure all that out. There's going to be questions that you're not going to have an answer to, and that's okay. But we have the Holy Spirit, those of us who are saved. But he comes here and he says, even the youth shall faint and not be and be weary. So the youth shall faint and be weary. All those young, I'm not as young as I used to be. And some of you are not as young as you used to be. But even in that, they have a strength that we just don't have. And they end up fainting and they become weary. So even the youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall utterly fall. So the things around the world will get weary. Topics will get weary. Causes will get weary. People get weary and they faint. But here's what the scripture tells us tonight. It's so easy to jump on a bandwagon today because we are so much about numbers. I put all the work into this. What's the outcome? And I truly believe this. There's too much business in the church today. The wrong kind of business, if you know what I mean. And here it is. There's those people who wait patiently. Now, as I've gotten older, I've learned a little patience. And I still struggle with it from time to time, but my body even says it, and my mind says I have to slow down just a certain piece in thinking and processing. But there is a patience that is a blessed thing. It says, but those who wait on the Lord, when we wait on the Lord, those who wait on the Lord, when they're not running around with their heads cut off, they're not running around just being busybodies, but those who wait on the Lord, they know who their God is. This is a person who knows who their God is. This is a person who knows who their Savior is. They know the voice of the Holy Spirit. And this person says, this person is waiting on the Lord, and it says they shall renew their strength. So those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. I told you that Jesus Christ is our Savior. Holy Spirit is our Counselor. God is our strength. Okay? The Lord is our strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. And here it goes. They shall run and not be weary. How does that even happen? Because when you jump under the power of the Holy Spirit and the Almighty God and Jesus Christ, you're filled with all that. It's amazing. Listen, you'll be able to do things that you never could do on your own. This church is doing things it could never. Look at the size. I tell you this. Look at this size. How in the world are we doing what we're doing like this? Because we're catching the wings. We're understanding this, that we are waiting on the Lord for certain things. We waited on the Lord for finances when in March, I think I look at the thing, we were $1,800. We were about ready to be broke at the end of March. We waited. We were waiting patiently on the Lord. And we prayed and we were waiting patiently on the Lord. And our strength wasn't in our dollars. We know that our strength is in the Lord. And we don't faint because of the numbers. But what it does do, and we don't go weary, even though physically we go weary, Austin, but there are times when here it is, that we know that God is the one that gives us strength. God is the one that gives us even physical strength when we don't feel like we can do it. And he says, they shall mount up with wings like eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and they shall not faint. Listen, when you do it God's way, nothing can stop you. Nothing can stop you. So you are the blessed ones tonight. I will make my rounds. Bob, you only can do what you can do because God has given you the strength to do it. That's it. Be strong and be faithful. Continue on this path and he will continue to lead you in that way. Austin, trust in the Lord, trust in people. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you and listen because he does speak. Susan, God sees your volunteerism. He sees you volunteering year after year after year. And that is fit. God blesses those who are faithful. Ben, God has a future for you. You seek it out, you will find it. If you let him be a part of it. Juliet, God is beginning to use you more than you ever thought in the last 6 months. Has he not? And he's using you in a way that I think you are kind of surprised at times as well. Dan, you are our associate pastor here and you're doing a good job with that. Stay steady, stay true, preach and teach the word, my friend. Dee, God hears your prayers. Joy will return. God hears your prayers. Don't think you don't. Phil, in season, out of season, my friend. You got to preach to them when they want to hear it and smile and take advantage of it and preach to them when they don't want to hear it. Even when your best friends are sitting in the front pew, don't preach at them, just preach. Scott, your faithfulness is real. It's true. It's been tested over time. Your strength has gotten to that point of being weary at times, but you stay steadfast and true. And you think that you felt that God has given you renewed strength from time to time. Alan, you need to seek the Lord. I don't know what that means tonight, but you need to seek the Lord out, whatever that means. Carla, my wife, my hon. As though many times God doesn't give you just one thing to do. You are the filler of the holes. You know, it may not feel comfortable, but ladies and gentlemen, today you fill the holes. Not everybody can do that. Stephanie, God is reworking you right now, isn't he? God is doing something in your life that you needed. I believe that you needed some peace and quietness in your life, and God has given that to you within just you in the house. God's good, isn't he? You're getting stronger, I see it. I love Scripture. Reading Scripture and learning Scripture is amazing. Memorizing Scripture is beautiful. But when you experience Scripture, it don't get no better than that. And when you experience Scripture, you can understand and know that it says, but those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And I have experienced that. You, many of you have experienced that. I've experienced God's calling. This is His discipline. I've experienced His love and His mercy and His grace, His gifting, His blessedness, His blessings, His forgiveness. I've experienced His faithfulness and His encouragement and His gentleness and His joy. I've experienced a refuge in a time of need for safety, and I've experienced conviction, and I've experienced His strength. Many of you can say the same thing tonight, but let me tell you what that means. When you know that you had that experience, that you are important to God, that you have a relationship with Him, that you are a child of God, that you have a life that He is involved in, and God is not on some little star many million miles away, but that He dwells inside of you. So when we wait upon the Lord, we are renewed, and He puts us up on wings, and He don't get us where we just think we need to be. He'll even do more than we ever even thought that we could do as individuals and as a church. Many would say, what is the most, and I do not say this arrogantly, I do not even say that I would know. Because I don't know really if it's the way I should say it, but I would wonder if God would walk into town and He'd say, 1 week to visit, where would He want to go to visit? Would He want to go to the church that had the big tall steeple that looked beautiful on the outside, that had the lawn was immaculate, and they had the greatest looking building structures? Or would He go to the church that had the biggest choir and the most awesomest music leader, and they could all were singing in tune and singing high and low and all over the place? Or would He go to the place that knew how to rock it out with a live band? Or would He go to that guy that knew how to draw hundreds of people? Or would He go to that place where there's few, but they call upon His name, not just in word, not just in song, but by spirit and through their heart, that knowing when they are struggling, that they call upon His name and say, Lord, I am weak. I am about to faint. Lord, I trust in You. I'm waiting on You. And the next thing you know, as you're praying, He comes up underneath you, and as wings and eagles with wings, He'll lift you up. And so many times through prayer and through reading of His word, you think you're still sitting, but in spirit, you're being lifted up in His power, and He's moving you toward the things that He wants you to do. God will go to the place where His name is lifted up, where He is the most important, where His name is being preached, where His spirit is being released. It is about Jesus. I love Him. I can't wait to see Him. But I have a life to live just like you. And there's going to be times when I'm going to struggle. And these scriptures are something not that I just read, but something that the Bible says that I can experience. For those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. I'm telling you, God is not impressed by numbers, but I believe by the hearts of men. And I know tonight that all of you, your hearts are right. I believe they're right. I'm not the judge of it, but I sense that they're right. Does it make us non-sinners? It just makes a sinner saved by grace, trying to live a righteous life, a Christ-like life before Him. I want you to know that God is more involved in what we're doing than I think that we can even imagine. It's not about coming up here preaching a 3-point message and going around saying how good I do. It's not going serving the meal ministry saying, hey, look what I have done. It's not being at the Women's Life House saying, ooh, look what I do. And I don't think our people do that. But it's about lifting up the name of Jesus Christ. Because the more you lift Him up, the more you stay on sound doctrine. When you stop lifting up the name of Jesus, you stop allowing Him to be in the business meetings, you stop allowing Him to be in your conversations, things will wiggle in. And they will draw you away from who you love and who you serve. The world looks at today. We need to be looking at a whole package. Because we are not just going to be living here and our time will come, but we will have a life of eternity. So we should look eternally at things. There will come a time when people will drift away from the church because the word is being preached and taught. There will be a time when people will fall out and go to things in itchy ears. They will go out and do the things and try to find the things that make them feel good. Things that does not bring conviction. But in the meantime, we need to stay strong. And if our faith, if our strength is dwindling, we do the one thing and we need to do it, and we need to do it well. Stay focused on Jesus Christ. Remember where your strength comes from. It comes from the Lord. We're going to go ahead and close tonight. I don't want to go any longer. I'll just be moving into other directions. I don't want to do that, but I want to give you an opportunity. I know we're small tonight, but my first preaching message was 19 years ago. I had 6 people, and 1 lady got saved, and she's still active in our church today here in this community. So let's just go ahead and stand and give you an opportunity.